Welcome to the Hallelujah House, where we focus on preparing the heart, home, and harvest. In this series of podcasts, we are learning what it means to abide in Christ and how to hear the voice of God. My name is Tammy Carter Adams, and I will be your host. I'm so glad you stopped by. Come on in. Okay, everyone, we're now in session 7. Still in the fruits, and we're going to discuss the desires of your heart. This is the good part. And we're on page 17 in case you want to know where we're at in your workbook. I'm going to open us up in prayer really quick. And thank you, Lord, so much for this opportunity that you've given us, Lord. And this is a big one, desires of our heart, Lord. And I just pray that we're honest and we're open and that we reveal really what we want from our lives. And not worry about whether they're Christian wants or whatever, because we know that you are in the process of changing. You're in the business of changing our desires, not us. Mm-hmm. Thank goodness for that. And we thank you, Lord, and we love you so much. And we just pray that you'll come and give us your word and give us your inspiration for the study. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. So what does God promise us? What are the conditions to this promise? And how do we practically meet these conditions is the question. So Prim, if you could read Psalm 37, 3 through 8.
Sure. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because the man who brings wicked schemes to pass, sees from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it only causes harm.
Okay, so there are several questions here. What does God promise us?
Our heart's desires.
Our heart's desires, right? And what are the conditions to this promise?
To trust in him and commit our ways to him?
Yeah, I think so. I think it is that we abide, basically, what we've been talking about. Mm-hmm. And how do we practically meet these conditions? And he in the study, he gives us a list of practical ways. God promises to give us the desires of the heart if we meet these conditions. We do not fret, worry, or have anxiety. We trust in the Lord. You have complete confidence that God, the Good Shepherd, whose promises are all yes for us, including this one. Do good. Walk with God. Be obedient to where he's leading you to serve his purposes, his ways, not our own. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Abide. Chew on the words that he leads us to and stay in his promised land where his kingdom reigns and protects us. Commit our way. Trust in him. Deny ourselves. Take up our cross and follow him. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently. Relax and do not focus on timing, but be assured it will be so. You know, on that last one, I think about Sarah and how he promised her a child. But how long she had to wait for that child. And he knew she was not going to, he knew her heart. He knew that she was not going to last without taking over the control of that, taking things in her own hands, mm-hmm. You know, by sending Hagar into Abraham. And look where it got us in the world.
Oh, yeah.
Still going on today. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, that's how we practically meet those conditions are those. But down at the bottom, it talks about write out the true desires of your heart, your dreams, and not to censor nor qualify. Write in as much detail as possible of your desires. And during this next week, process this with your spouse or another friend if you're not married. Begin praying together that you can meet the conditions and God will deliver on his promise. And I wanted to have a time where we discuss some of the desires of our own hearts around the table. If you feel led to share, if you don't want to share, ladies, you don't have to. But Liz, did you want to
share with that? There was an area, there's a desire that I've had in my heart for years, and it was to be a Florida native. No, not a native, but to be able to live in Florida. That, I mean, my husband and I both love the beach. We always have from day one. That was our honeymoon. We went to the Bahamas, and then we spent time in Orlando and Daytona. And
nice tan, by the way.
Thank you. I do work on it. So we love the beach. Well, I married my husband, and we moved to Louisville, Kentucky. We were inland, no beach in sight. We lived there for 10 years, and every year of those painful years, I would be, I cannot stand the cold weather, the snow. I need to be in warm weather year round. Well, God heard my desires. He heard my prayers, but he started moving us slowly, gradually moving us south. We moved to Knoxville, Tennessee for the next 15 years. We're getting a little further south, right? And he still knew the desires of our heart. And eventually God, through a painful circumstance, moved us from Knoxville to Jacksonville, Florida. Mm-hmm. And in that time, we had no idea where we were going to land, but we just kept praying. Well, then we knew that Jacksonville was just going to be 1 year stint. So we were just praying, Lord, where are you going to lead us now? God, you know our desire. We love Anna Maria Island. We love the beach. We want to be on the Gulf side. We really want to be there. But wherever you want us to go, we will follow. So he led us to a place in Ohio. He led us to three places in Florida. And God just kept keeping doors open, or he would shut one. And he finally shut doors in Ohio, and he shut a few more down in South Florida. But God put us over on the Gulf Coast. So I truly believe that this is one of the desires he has finally fulfilled for us, that he knew our heart was to be over here. And as crazy and as selfish that may seem, he knew it brought us great joy. Mm-hmm. And so we're now living exactly where we wanted to live, basically in a city that's as close to Anna Maria Island as you can about get. So we're just so thankful. I mean, he is really a good father.
He is a good father.
Yeah. And it took 25 years, but we're done.
I didn't think about it until you said it, but we had to move from Orlando to Philadelphia, no time frame at all, and I was 8 months pregnant. Mm. And we didn't know anybody in Philadelphia. We were leaving. At least I had family here. You know, his family and friends were my family, no different. And my family's in Boston, but that's still, it was a 6-hour drive, and I was pregnant. And again, there's just no help, no one around. I was going to have 2 kids under 2, and I did not want to do it. So we went, and it was the toughest year I feel like I've ever had. Mm-hmm. But my husband, he grew up Christian, but his faith grew. And I was like, just surprised at like how much faith he had with everything. And I'm like, man, I was miserable. When I had my second daughter, she just was not the best baby. And it was really tough. I mean, I was crying all the time. Again, 2 kids under 2. And just, he was traveling a lot. He would get to come down here to Orlando. And I'm stuck in the cold weather with 2 babies. And just a really tough time. And I feel like that was the first time where I was alone. And I didn't have anyone else to go to other than God. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to start praying. Like, I need to get out of here. God, you need to get me back in Orlando. I can't do this. I don't want to do this. Mm-hmm. It wasn't even like, I know I can do it, but I don't want to. I love the warm weather. I grew up in Boston for most of my life, but I was like, I was crazy. Why would anyone live up here? Why wouldn't you live in Florida? Mm-hmm. And I love it down here, and we have friends and family. We just had a great time down here. So I prayed about it, and he just kept on, like, his faith was just growing every day. And I'm like, man, I want that. Like, I want that, like, I want to know that everything's going to be okay. Mm-hmm. He just knew we were going to be back here. And I'm like, whatever. Like, I won't believe it until I see it. And exactly a year later, he told his company that we need to go back to Orlando. And it was like a year and like 3 months later, we ended up moving back. Same house. We're in the same house.
Wow.
And it's, I love it. And it made me appreciate, you know, things that, like my house. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wish I had a bigger house, but now I'm like, I don't want to move. Mm-hmm. Love it. I love this house.
This is such a great house.
Yeah. And it was such a cool experience because I definitely feel like that's how we had, he says it best, like that we had to get away to grow our faith together because mm-hmm. we only had each other and God. Like yeah. we talked about the three strands, like mm-hmm. it was only us three. And then we,
wow.
our prayers were answered.
Yeah.
We're
back. That's a great testimony.
Mm-hmm. He sent you to the wilderness.
Literally.
Sometimes he does. He sends you away from people and people that you know, depend on yeah. so that you can learn to depend on him.
And when that happened and he answered that prayer, did that increase your faith?
It did. A year, I think it was a year later, he ended up losing his job. Or maybe, no, it wasn't. I can't even remember. It was not even a year later. But he ended up getting laid off, and I wasn't worried. Mm-hmm. I was like, Tammy will tell you about this all the time. Like, I was, like, I just have faith. Yeah. It's going to be okay. And it helped that, you know, we had family go through the same experience. But I was at ease. I was not concerned. I wasn't worried about anything. I wasn't panicking. And we still had two kids, and... Mm-hmm. I wasn't pregnant at that time, but, you know, we still had two kids. Yeah. You know, it was a tough situation, but we made it work. And again, at that time, I feel like my faith grew even more because, yeah. you know, we were praying for things that I hadn't even prayed about before.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
I remember I had a desire of my heart as a mom of three boys, that my husband would move us to the country. And I would take my boys to Virginia and I would see their little wildness come out in them when they would go in the woods and behind my parents' house and they'd go fishing and they just came alive. And it was just so, rural living is so different than living in a neighborhood. You know, you learn some survival skills you didn't even know you had because My mom would say, go out in the woods, go play, but take the dogs with you. And if you got in trouble, you'd find a way out, you know, without bothering mama, you know. And I wanted my boys to have, I think boys, especially with boys, it's important to have that wildness and heart that, you know, God instills in them. And I wanted to see that grow in them. But my husband, he loved Restaurant Row in Orlando. And I was just like, he loved the convenience. He's like, you married a city boy. You just married a city boy. And I'm like, you were born and raised in Ocala. He acts like he's from, you know, because he moved from New York. I was born in New York. And I'm like, oh, please.
Okay. So it's the city for a lot of people in that area.
You moved to Ocala when you're 11, okay? So you're not that much a city boy. But he just did not have a desire to live anywhere other than Restaurant Row in Orlando. So I started praying. I did what every good Christian woman does. You get on your knees and, Lord, change his heart.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
In
Jesus' name.
And then his best friend, Ed, started inviting him to go hunting. And he would come back and he'd describe the dew on the grass. Mm. He would describe the call of the birds in the morning and I could see him starting to really appreciate the country through hunting. And I was like, Lord, you're doing something with this man, you know? And so, make a long story short, Ed decides, hey, I'm thinking about getting into farming. You know, I'd like to buy a farm. I want you guys to come out and look at it and build a house on it. And that's how God gave me my country, you know? Mm-hmm. And so my boys were able to come out here. It actually, you know, sometimes he answers our prayers way better than we think. So I have the best of both worlds. I can bring my kids out here, let them run free, and they could still have their friendships that they've established. And so it just, you know, I've just been wowed by God and how he's used this farm for ministry and lots of other things, you know.
Well, I'll share my short version mm-hmm. of what I was talking to y'all about earlier. And the cool way that God confirmed this, because, you know, it's what you said, what a couple of y'all have said, how he answers it in a different way than you don't see it coming. You think, how, like, he's so creative or he's so clever. Like, how did he do that? Well, he's mm-hmm. God. That's how. Mm-hmm. But so I'd been praying about, I was restless at the job I had at a church and working for a pastor and feeling like this isn't where I'm supposed to be anymore. And I just started praying for a job and a career and a field that I had wanted to be in for many, many years. And I just started really committing it to prayer. And as I was feeling like there were more and more signs that like I was getting booted out the door by God, mm-hmm. but I wasn't getting a confirmation that this was the field and that he was accepting that. It was more, you know, I needed that confirmation that, yes, I'm going to give you this. The pastor that I worked for texted me about, was I still interested in this field that I had told him about 2 years ago? Mm-hmm. Of all the places for this to come from, mm-hmm. it was from him. And he says, so it's voiceover. And so he says, are you still interested in voiceover? Blew my mind. I said, yes, why? He said, well, I'm working on a project with some people. They're looking for somebody to do this. And I remembered you mentioned this to me a couple of years ago. Mm. I started laughing into the phone. Like, he texted me, and then after I said why, he called me. I said, I cannot believe you just sent me this text. He goes, why? I said, do you remember when I came to work for you 2 years ago after working for you, quitting, being gone for an interior design for a year, and you texted me and said, would you consider coming back here? And it was the very day that I had been let go. I said, and now God has used you again to confirm a job change. And what's funny about it is I'm leaving you. but actually, I didn't tell him all of that until a week later. I got the job. I did the audition. I got selected for the job. And then I went into his office and I told him the whole thing and how he had been instrumental the first time, which he knew about, and this time, mm-hmm. which he had no idea about. Mm-hmm. And he said at that moment, he said, you know, I don't think I'm ever going to text you again.
Mm. Yes, if God wants him to.
I said, yes, exactly. Yes, you will, because you are the messenger mm-hmm. from mm-hmm. God to me.
Good.
It's powerful.
Yeah. Okay, so for the listeners out there, take some time to journal. And what are your desires of your heart? Or if you've had, like us, a desire that God has fulfilled already, take some time to journal it and thank Him for it. And we will see you tomorrow.
Hello, everyone. This is Tammy Carter Adams, and we are going to stay in session 7. You're going to stay with me for just a bit in session 7. I noticed that when I listened back to the ladies, we did a great job, didn't we? But I just feel like we kind of skipped over Psalms 37, 3 through 8, and I want to go back over it just a bit. I want to make sure I cover it thoroughly before we move on, because there are some points that I wanted to make in that session that I neglected to do. And we were in such a tight schedule that I'm going to do this a couple of times where I'm adding a little bit more to the podcast like I'm doing right now. So let's start by reading Psalms 37, 3 through 8 again. If you want to read along with me, that would be great. It's trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in Him and He will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself. It tends only to evil. I love this passage, and I think it's worth camping out in this passage. Because there are a lot of God's promises in this passage, but there are also a lot of instructions to us as far as what practical things we need to do in order to gain those promises. So I want to go back to delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. And there's a teaching out there that's very popular right now, which I'm sure most of you by now have heard about it. And it's called Prosperity Gospel. And they have taken, I truly believe they've taken this verse way out of context. And the Prosperity Gospel teaches that wealth, that God wants us to have wealth, success, health, and status. If you just have faith in God, he's going to give you wealth, success, health, good health, and status. But what does that do to the person who finds out they have cancer? Does it make them feel as if God don't care for them? You know, were they not faithful enough because they got cancer? I'll never forget when my sister had cancer. We had we did have a pastor come in and pray over her, and it wasn't our pastor. It was someone who approached us and wanted to come into our home and pray over her. And he yelled to the top of his lungs that, you know, for her to show her faith. And I do believe it takes faith for a miracle. I do believe that on our part, but also you have to make room for God's will. There's a balance there. You have to make room for God's will. And if it's God's will, and I knew without a doubt that it was God's will for my sister to have cancer, because she became a light for him, and others came to know God through her suffering. And I remember my sister sitting there and almost in tears crying. And she kind of gave me the look like, this better stop, because the pastor was just berating her about her need to have, sister, yell it, you know, wanted her to yell it, that she had faith. And that can be very damaging to someone that is already sick. Later that day, well, before I get to that part, her daughter, who was 7 years old, stepped in front of this pastor and blocked his path as he was heading out the door. And she said, Pastor, I know I know it's God's will for my mama to have cancer. And one day, he's going to reveal why, or it's going to benefit somebody. Oh, how did she say that? She says, I know it's God's will that my mama has cancer. And God is going to get glory from it. That's exactly what she said. God is going to get glory from it. And do you know what that pastor did? He patted her on the head and said, no, child. And my mouth flew open. It looked like, you know, her daughter Peyton was going to, her eyes started to tear up, and I ran over to her and hugged her. And I told her how smart she was. And later that day, I found my sister at the park. You know, she had a bald head from the chemotherapy, and it was cold that night, and I brought her a little hat and put it on her head. And we were sitting there, and she looked over at me, and I could tell she'd been crying, her eyes were swollen, and she said, if it's not God's will for me to have cancer, why do I have it if I'm his child? And I had to give my sister an apology that day for putting her through that. You know, I was responsible for that, because I let someone that I didn't know truly what their belief system on that was. And I do believe that that pastor somewhat believed in a prosperity type gospel. Regarding health anyway, I knew. So we have to be very, very careful, because that prosperity gospel is very dangerous. And that is exactly what Paul is talking about in Timothy when he's, you know, when he wrote those letters to Timothy about the end times, and that people will run to doctrine that tickles their ears, which means that gives them pleasure, that they find pleasurable. They only want to hear teaching that they can find pleasure in. And we're not God. We don't understand his ways because we're human. And there are going to be times, I mean, Christ made it very clear. If you're a follower of him and you believe in him, you better be willing to pick up your cross and follow him. And that means you're going to have tough times. I don't see anywhere in the Bible that, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, that God tells us that we're going to be wealthy. I don't see a promise of wealth and success, health or status. But what this desire of your heart is about is more of the abundant life, okay? It's more of a life that is committed. Your life is committed to him, and he's going to give you a great calling on your life that is going to make you feel fulfilled. You're going to feel fulfillment. He has promised provision, so you will be provided for. He's made so many promises in his word, and I think that those are the desires of your heart. Let's go through these questions. What does God promise us, and what are the conditions of this promise? And God promised to give you the desires of your heart, but you must delight in him. And what does delight look like? That's what I wanted to talk about. For me, delight is when I get up in the morning and I get my coffee and I can't wait to, you know, I'm moving towards my office because I want to open up the word and see what God has to say to me that day. That is as simplistic as I can get as far as delight, having delight in the Lord. If you're a believer and when you start abiding, you're going to get excited about hearing what he has to say to you once you learn his voice. And I want all of you, I want to encourage you so much to, after you finish this study, it's just to abide, get in the word. You don't have to wait till after you finish the study, get in the word now and start asking God to give you a word every day. He's faithful. He wants to give you a word. He's dying to talk to you. And so, all right, how do we practically meet these conditions? We practically meet these conditions by spending time with him. And I think I said that in the podcast earlier, that by abiding, by carving out time and being, what's the word I'm looking for? Just making it prioritizing it as part of your everyday life, that you're going to spend time with God and you're going to sit. And one of my friends, Ed Koppel, he has described it as he sits with the Lord until God dismisses him every morning. And he said that means he schedules his day a little bit later. He doesn't take appointments earlier than 10 o'clock per se, and he gets up early. And that way he knows he's got plenty of time for God to give him a word that day. And that's really what abiding is about. All right, so in the bottom it says, write out your true desires of your heart, your dreams, and do not censor nor qualify. Now on this, if your desire right now is to have a Cadillac, don't feel ashamed about it. Write a Cadillac in that space. This is you being honest before the Lord and laying it all out there in front of him. And I'm not saying that God won't ever give you that Cadillac. My mother, one of her dreams for her, she wanted a house on a lake. She wanted this for years. And God actually gave it to her after all the kids moved out. And I think it honestly was because the kids, we all played in the woods. We loved the woods. We had a creek in our woods. And I've written about the woods before. And that was like, God knew that was our playground. And after we moved on and we grew up, it's like he just opened this path for my parents to have this beautiful lake house on a lake. And it was too good of a deal to pass up. It's almost like they made money on the house. So he will give you some of those things. This is not saying you'll never receive something that is that's materialistic or something that you truly want, like in that fashion. Yeah, he's given me some things that are materialistic, but so I want you to write out everything that you want in this space, and then start praying about it. And when you start abiding, when you really start abiding after this, you know, when the study is over, I want you to go back and look at what you wrote down and see if your desires haven't changed. Because, you know, sometimes God gives us a desire. I'm going to share a desire I have right now in my heart. And sometimes God does foster those desires in your heart, even if they are a material thing. And this is, I have a desire one day to have a little bit of land in Orlando beside, you know, around our house. And the reason why is because I would love to build like a barn to be used. I have a strong desire to reach women that are kind of intimidated by church. They're intimidated by walking into a church and taking a Bible study. And I've met lots of women that are that way. They want to go, but they're just intimidated by walking in that building. So I really want to have a barn where I can bring women in, and it can be an art studio. And I'd like to teach art lessons to little kids in the summer, and I would like to make that a ministry as well. But I would also love to lead women in Bible studies that are intimidated to go in church. So that is one of my desires that I'm going to write in my space. Will I get it? I don't know. I don't know. I just have to wait and see. And that's one of the things in Psalms, in that passage where you wait on the Lord and see. But one thing he's very clear on, in the few lotus down at the bottom of this passage, it says, all right, I'm going to start with that one. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Refrain from evil, from anger, and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself. It tends only to evil. So what God's telling us there is that there are going to always be somebody that has more than you or have something that you want, okay? And it may be something that God may have even promised you, and you see someone else getting it a little faster than you. And that's okay. You be still and wait patiently and just continue to abide in him and find your joy in him and not in your dream, okay? God is enough. And when you start putting your joys in God and not in your dream, then I wouldn't be surprised if he does give you the desire of your heart. Or he might change that desire and give you something better or give you something that's more satisfying to your soul. So that's all I wanted to talk to you about today. And I hope I covered it all. I think I have. But anyway, so get your workbook done, and I will see you in session 8.